translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thereafter, the Lord charitably bestowed his benediction upon all his devotees. He gave the remnants of his food to Narayani, showing her special respect. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Narayani was a niece of Srivas Thakur, and later she became the mother of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. In this connection, the Sahajiyas cite a malicious story that after eating the remnants of Lord Chaitanya's foodstuff, Narayani became pregnant and gave birth to Vrindavan Das Thakur. The rascal Sahajiyas may manufacture such false statements, but no one should believe them. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. The rascal Sahajiyas may manufacture such false statements, but no one should believe them because they are motivated by enmity against the Vaishnavas. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutidevi Pranamami Hari Prihe Vanchakalpa Turabhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashari Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pushtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadi Shatharine. So what time is class meant to finish today? 9? Sorry? 8:49. Okay. So the verse again. Thereafter the Lord charitably bestowed his benediction upon all his devotees. He gave the remnants of his food to Narayani, showing her special respect. So the first part of this verse, a reference is made to the pastime of the Lord bestowing benediction upon all of his devotees. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, does not go into much detail about that pastime. But in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, chapters 9 and 10, there's very elaborate description of this pastime. Actually, it is a very sweet pastime, one of my most favorite. So every day, all of Mahaprabhu's associates in the evening, they would gather and perform Sankirtan. So one night, that took place. But Mahaprabhu's mood was very different that day. His mood was just full of love for his devotees. And his mood was wanting to bestow benedictions upon them. So Mahaprabhu started to call different devotees. And he began to recount different pastimes for them. It'll be lengthy to go into them, but I'll give you just a taste of one or two, so that may whet your appetite to want to go and read it. This book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is available. It's been translated by devotees into English. But if you are not a reader, the entire Chaitanya Bhagavat has been very beautifully recited by a devotee called Damodar Das. And there's an app, I even have it on my phone. The entire Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat, every chapter, it's recited with beautiful background music. And everyone should take advantage of that. You can download the app from the Play Store. That's why I downloaded it. And you can hear Madhya Kanda, chapters 9 and 10. The name of the app, I'll tell you a bit later at the end. Okay, if you want to do it now, I'll tell you. It's simply called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's on on the Play Store. I got it from ISKCON Desire Tree, and it looks like that with Lord Chaitanya's, and each of the chapters are there, and you can hear. ISKCON Desire Tree is the maker. It's a beautiful app, so you can read. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was calling all of his devotees. Like, for example, he called Ganga Das, one of his devotees. And Ganga Das, he had experienced a very traumatic event in his life. Once he and his family were in a place, and then the fighting broke out between the Muslims and the Hindus. And to escape this fighting, because normally there's massacre, they went to the Ganges to look for a boat to go across and to escape the situation. But they could find no boat and no boatman. Then suddenly, mysteriously, out of nowhere, a boat and a boatman appeared, saying, do you want to go across? He said, yes. And then the boatman took across. And then Ganga Prasad and his family, Ganga Das and his family, they didn't quite know what to make out of it. And during this pastime, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he called Ganga Das, he said, Ganga Das, do you remember that time? That time when you and your family? He said, yes. He said, I was the boatman and I came with my boat. And then he speaks to Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur was once ridiculed. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came into his heart and encouraged him. And Mahaprabhu recalled that. And then he's called Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya, he was in a mood that all the scriptures should only be explained in terms of bhakti or devotional service. So one day he saw one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, and he was trying to explain each of the verse, but he couldn't connect this verse to devotional service. And then he became very despondent. He didn't want to eat. He didn't want to do anything. But that night in his dream, someone appeared and gave a full explanation of that verse, beautiful explanation in terms of devotional service. And then Advaita Acharya became very happy the next day. Then Mahaprabhu said, you remember that night, Advaita Acharya? That was me. And then he called Haridas Thakur. He said, Haridas, do you remember when you were persecuted through 21 marketplaces? You were beaten on your back and you felt no pain? Haridas said, yes. He said, Haridas, just see. He turned his back and he said, look, Haridas. And on his back were full of marks of beating. And he said, Haridas, when you were being beaten and you were not feeling anything, it was me that was taking all the beating. And Haridas completely broke down. Then he called Murari Gupta. And Murari Gupta was in the mood, He's an incarnation of Hanuman. And he said, Murari, look, look. And when Murari looked, Lord Chaitanya transformed himself into Lord Ramachandra with the bow and arrow. And then he started to glorify Murari Gupta. And he said, Murari, you are so great. Ask for whatever you want. Whatever you want. And Murari said, you know, I don't want anything. I simply want to be situated in a place where I can constantly hear your pastimes. Actually, there was once a pastime with Hanuman. He went to Lord Ram and he said, Lord Ram, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. You know, I've been doing so much of service, I just want to take a vacation. So Lord Ram said, oh, okay. But what will you do in your vacation? Where will you go? What would you do? Hanuman says, I will go. I'll find a place where beautiful Ramkatha is taking place and I'll just sit there and relish. That'll be my vacation. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, granted. So in this way, all of the devotees, Mahaprabhu was having very sweet reciprocation with all of his devotees. And that's why it says here, charitably bestowed his benediction upon all the devotees. And then he didn't limit himself only to the adults. In the audience was a young 4-year-old girl named Narayani. She was the niece of Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur, he had 3 brothers, Sripati, Sri Ram, and Sri Nidhi. And I couldn't find out which of his brothers Narayani was born to, and I researched, I couldn't. But one of his brothers had a daughter called Narayani, only 4 years old. And she was there every night. So Mahaprabhu called, Narayani, come here. Come here. And what did he do? He gave her his remnants. He gave her his remnants. And then he said, Narayani, I want to hear you cry for Krishna. And I want to see you crying for Krishna. And Narayani immediately, she fell on the ground. And she was crying for Krishna, in separation for Krishna. So Narayani is a very special devotee. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the 8th chapter, it is explained there that Narayani, that's 8th chapter Adilila, text number 41. Narayani eternally eats the remnants of the food of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur was born of her womb. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains who Narayani is. There's one book written by one of our acharyas, Kavi Karnapur, Gora Ganadesh Deepika. And in that book, he writes and he explains all of the associates of Mahaprabhu, what is their position in Krishna Leela. So Narayani also has a position in Krishna Leela. Now those of you who have read, see Chaitanya Charitamrita will know what Prabhupada has revealed. Who is she? Don't know? In Krishna Leela, Krishna has a nurse. Her name is Ambika. And Ambika has a sister, Kilimbika. Kilimbika. So in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, who is Ambika? It's the wife of Srivas Thakur, Malini. And Ambika's sister, Kilimbika, She has taken birth in Mahaprabhu's pastimes as Narayani. And she has been made eternally famous in that she always received the remnants of the food of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu, as I explained, he told Narayani, I want to hear you and I want to see you cry for Krishna. So this principle of crying for Krishna, it is a core part of our Vaishnava Siddhanta. Actually, for the devotee, the perfection, the highest ecstasy is to be crying for Krishna in separation. And Srila Prabhupada, he also thought that. In fact, in the very beginning days of ISKCON, Prabhupada made the Hare Krishna long playing record. And he gave a translation of the Hare Krishna mantra. And in that purport, Prabhupada says, when we chant this Maha Mantra, we should cry, just like a child cries for his mother, we should cry for Krishna. So there are different levels. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada also states the same. On page number 83 of the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada says, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn the small technique. And he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular service. This is called lolium. And such tears are the price for the highest perfection. There's the verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Bhakti Bhava Bhavita Matihi Kriyatam Yadhi Kutapi Nalabhyate Tatra Lolyam Namulyam Ekanam Janma Koti Sukriti Nalabhyate. So the translation of this verse is, pure devotional service cannot be attained even after millions and millions of lifetimes of pious activities. It can be attained by paying only one price, and that price is the intense desire to attain it. This is called lolium, greed. So, this lolium means, say suppose I desire to eat rasagulla. So I go to the shop to buy a rasagulla. And I ask, how much is the rasagulla? And the devotee says, £3 for one piece. So I open my purse or my wallet, I look, I only got £1.50. I say, oh, only got £1.50. Ah, never mind. Forget the rasagulla. But greed means I go to the shop, I see the rasagulla is £3, but I got only £1.50. And I think to myself, by hook or by crook, I'm going to get the other £1.50 and I'm going to get that rasagulla. That's what lolium means. We may be totally unqualified to attain or achieve this Krishna prema. But we don't give up. We think in our minds that somehow, by some mercy, I will get this Krishna prema. This is the mood of the Vaishnava. Actually, crying, real crying for Krishna means crying in the mood of separation out of love. Now, the fact is, I mean, I can't speak for all of you, but I can speak for myself. We don't feel that. You know, simply to cry for Krishna, I don't know. I can't remember shedding tears, you know, that I couldn't attain Krishna. One time, one devotee went to Prabhupada, and he said, "Prabhupada, what to do? I can't cry for Krishna." And Prabhupada said, "That's okay. Then cry that you cannot cry. Cry that you cannot cry." And those who've seen the classes and videos of Gaur Govinda Swami will know he calls our movement the crying religion. He says our aspiration to become criers for Krishna. And I saw a video the other day, very interesting. One devotee was sitting in front of Maharaj, and he's saying, "Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, what to do if we can't cry for Krishna? Our heart feels callous." Then Maharaj says, "So what to do?" Then Maharaj says, "You feel like that because you don't want Krishna, you want Maya. You want Maya, you don't want Krishna, therefore you can't feel like that. First you develop that desire." Yeah. So this is something we can't fake. And later on I'll speak a bit more about the Sahajiyas, because that's what they try to do. They try to fake the crying. So the other point I want to make in the verse about Narayani, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, when he describes this pastime about his mother Narayani, he says, "Dhanya, dhanya, dhanya." Three times he said, "My mother was so fortunate that she achieved Krishna Prem." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed Krishna Prem on her. Many of us know this verse, "Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tvishe Namaha." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as the most munificent incarnation of the Lord, because he is freely giving what no other incarnation is given, and that is Krishna Prem. So I used to often wonder, what does it mean really, you know, to receive Krishna Prem? Mahaprabhu is giving Krishna Prem, you know. What does this mean? And I came to some conclusion reading Srila Prabhupada's books. In our Vaishnava literature, it is explained that a devotee hankers for the mercy of Krishna. And at a certain stage of his Krishna consciousness, he develops this mood that I am Krishna's. I am Krishna's. But by further maturity, as the devotee starts to, as he becomes more purified, starts to covet a certain relationship, eternal relationship with the Lord, his Swarup, then he starts to covet that relationship. And he starts to desire making Krishna his or hers in that mood. And that feeling of I am Krishna starts to transform into Krishna is mine. And that mood starts to intensify. But there's a limitation to that mood. And there's a limitation on how the relationship between Krishna and his devotee progresses. because there is some obstacle. And it is explained by the Acharyas, at that point when Krishna sees his devotee, then as part of his Ladini Shakti, there are three aspects to the internal potency of Krishna. Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini. Samvit is the cognitive potency of the Lord, knowledge. Sandini is the eternal principle. And Ladini is the pleasure potency. So, at that point in time, there's something called the Kripa Shakti, which is part of the Ladini Shakti. At that point, Krishna bestows this Kripa Shakti on the devotee, which is part of the Ladini Shakti. And when the devotee receives this Kripa Shakti, this Ladini Shakti, then something wonderful happens. Firstly, the devotee's attraction for Krishna becomes very, very strong. And then on the converse side, Krishna's attraction for the devotees becomes very strong. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami lists six characteristics of pure devotional service. The first two is Kleshagni and Shubhada. Kleshagni means pure devotional service immediately brings one relief from all material distress. We all have experience of that. The moment we've taken to devotional service, we feel our distress vanquishing. And then the second one is Shubhada. It's the beginning of all auspiciousness. The third quality is Sandrananda Visheshatma. Pure devotional service automatically puts one on the transcendental platform. The fourth one is, it is Sur Durlabha. It is very rarely achieved. And the fifth one is Moksha Laguta Krit. Pure devotional service derides the happiness that's derived from liberation. And the final one, Sri Krishna Karshini, is pure devotional service attracts Krishna. So the first two characteristics get manifest at the stage of sadhana bhakti or vaidhi bhakti. The second two gets manifested in the stage of bhava bhakti. And the last two gets manifested in the stage of prema bhakti. Now, someone may say, oh, that's all good, Vrindavan Chandra. But what's your evidence for what you are saying? What's your evidence? So I would like to read the evidence. So this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 4. And this is text number 68. Translation. The essence of the Ladini potency is love of God. The essence of love of God is emotion, bhava. And the ultimate development of emotion is mahabhav. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The product of the Ladini Shakti is love of God, which has two divisions, namely pure love of Godhead and adulterated love of Godhead. Only when the Ladini Shakti emanates from Sri Krishna and is bestowed upon the living being to attract him, does the devotee become a pure lover of God. So what is Prabhupada saying here? Prabhupada is saying only when Krishna gives this Ladini Shakti to the devotee does he become attracted to the devotee. But when the same Ladini Shakti is adulterated by the external material energy and emanates from the living being, it does not attract Krishna. On the contrary, the living being becomes attracted by the glamour of the material energy. At the same time, instead of becoming mad with love of Godhead, the living being becomes mad after material sense enjoyment. And because of his association with the qualitative modes of material nature, He is captivated by his interactions of distressful, unhappy feelings. Now, there's some deep meanings there. We can spend a whole class just discussing it. You can go and read and meditate on it. But the essence of that is the full realization of prema, or the full realization of this crying for Krishna is achieved when Krishna bestows. Krishna, and also Krishna's, some instances, Krishna's pure devotee can do that. So, Narayani was the fortunate recipient of that. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, discusses that Narayani's son was Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur is celebrated as the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat. He took birth when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was about 20 years old and just about to take sannyas. And Vrindavan Das Thakur actually never met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he's the author of the most celebrated biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vrindavan Das Thakur, when he was 16 years old, he got initiated. By who? Nityananda Prabhu, yes. He was the last disciple of Lord Nityananda. The very last disciple of Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda gave him the instruction to write the biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, you see how wonderfully. Now, this Chaitanya Bhagavat has been wonderfully glorified in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So I'll quickly read this glorification because it's very nice for us to appreciate. He starts off by saying, "O fools," he's addressing us, "just read Sri Chaitanya Mangal. By reading this book, you can understand the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." In the Purport, Prabhupada explains that Chaitanya Bhagavat was originally called Chaitanya Mangal. But Lochan Das Thakur also wrote another book called Chaitanya Mangal. And at that point, Chaitanya Mangal, the book by Vrindavan Das Thakur, was changed to Chaitanya Bhagavat. "As Vyasadev has compiled all the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam, Thakur Vrindavan Das has depicted the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Thakur Vrindavan Das has composed Sri Chaitanya Mangal. Hearing this book annihilates all misfortune." So it's explained that Vrindavan Das Thakur is an incarnation of who? Vyasadev. Actually, it's a combined mercy of two personalities, Vyasadev and the coward boy, Kushimhabi. So it's combined. So Vyasadev came in Chaitanya Leela as Vrindavan Das Thakur, and he wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat. "By reading Sri Chaitanya Mangal, one can understand all the glories and truths of Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and come to the ultimate conclusion of devotional service to Lord Krishna." Now, in the purport, I was actually reading this purport last night. I got a bit of a surprise from Srila Prabhupada. In this purport, he advocates, let's not tell the world to read Srimad Bhagavatam, but let's tell the world that they should read Chaitanya Bhagavat. And he gives two reasons in the purport. Very, very concisely, the first reason is that Srimad Bhagavatam may be a bit more difficult for the ordinary person to contemplate. And secondly, he says, the understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam has been very much perverted and contaminated by the Bhagavat Sapta reciters. Then he goes on to say, in Sri Chaitanya Mangal, later known as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has given the conclusion and essence of devotional service by quoting the authoritative statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. If even a great atheist hears Sri Chaitanya Mangal, he immediately becomes a great devotee. So when I read this, I was thinking some devotee must get a set and try and meet Richard Dawkins and give him a set of Chaitanya Mangal. The effect it'll have, no? But this is what it said here. The subject matter of this book is so sublime that it appears that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally spoken to the writings of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. I offer millions of obeisances onto the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur. No one else could write such a wonderful book for the deliverance of all fools. Narayani eternally eats the remnants of the food of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur was born of her womb. What a wonderful description he has given of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Anyone in the three worlds who hears it is purified. So this is some glorification of this wonderful book, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sometimes the devotees may ask, so if there's so much of glorification of Chaitanya Bhagavat, then why did Srila Prabhupada choose to translate Chaitanya Charitamrita? Because in one sense it is explained that the Chaitanya Bhagavat is much more simple. It's written in simpler Bengali, and the pastimes are more lila. And Prabhupada gives us an answer or a clue to why he did that. In which book? In the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam. If you all read the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, you know Srila Prabhupada spends a majority of the introduction doing what? Describing the life and pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But before he does this, he says this. He said the readers of this small description, which he's going to give, of the life and precepts of Lord Chaitanya, will profit much to go through the books of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, and Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The early life of the Lord is most fascinatingly expressed by the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat. And as far as the teachings are concerned, they are more vividly explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now they are available to the English-speaking public in our teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So Prabhupada gives a clue here. He says that this Chaitanya Bhagavat is more lila. And it's more lila about the earlier pastimes of the Lord. But Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is a bit more philosophical. And that actually ties in with Prabhupada's mood. Prabhupada, among his disciples, was very cautious about one thing happening, one specific thing happening. And that is they're becoming sahajyas. They're becoming sahajyas. I wanted to speak quite a bit about the sahajyas, but time is just going so quickly. So the sahajyas, Prabhupada gives a very simple, like, in this verse, Prabhupada condemns the sahajyas. Because what have they done? They've come up with a story that how did Narayani fall pregnant? By the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Narayani, she was actually married. Her husband died while Vrindavan Das Thakur was still in the womb. So after the child was born, she stayed in the house of Vasudev Datta. And then she moved to the house of Srivas Thakur, and she was raised there, playing in the courtyard of. He was raised playing in the courtyard of Srivas Thakur. So this sahajyas, what is the meaning of sahajya? I just did a little bit of research under the Vani quotes, and one consistent, very simple definition kept appearing from Srila Prabhupada about what is the definition of a sahajya. Prabhupada says, a sahajya is someone who takes things cheaply. Very simple definition. Someone who takes things cheaply. To take something cheaply means to take something that has a very high value and to suddenly ascribe a very low value to that thing. That is what it means, is to take something cheaply. So this is what the sahajiyas do. Prema bhakti, love for Krishna, is something very, very elevated. As we've just read, you know, to attain prema bhakti is so, so rare. Sudurlabha, rarely achieved. But simply if you can laugh and cry, then you are on the stage of Raganuga Bhakti or Prema Bhakti. And then is to take the relationship between Krishna and the gopis to be something very cheap. That one starts to compare one's mundane relationship with, between man and woman on the same platform. That is what sahajya means. Recently I've been going through an interesting experience. There's a group of devotees. They have condemned Vaidhi Bhakti. And they've condemned the practices of ISKCON. The reason I got interested, because two of the devotees I used to do Harinam with every Saturday in Coventry, they joined this group. And there's one devotee, calls himself the Guru. And we've been having exchanges. And basically what they're saying is, you know what? Something that hasn't worked, you should put one side. This Vaidhi Bhakti. So many devotees in ISKCON have been practicing Vaidhi for years. But who's feeling the ecstasy? Who's crying? This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to do. He's come to give us this prema. So this is not working. So we should take this prema. And the guru of this sect, they've been trying to pull me in. And I've been challenging it. So recently he's been sending me about crying for Krishna. So last night, I sent him a verse and purport from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I want to read to you what I sent him. Because it explains and it gives us the essence of how we should not ever fall into this trap of becoming a sahajiya. So the verse is, so this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 8, text 25. And the text is, if one's heart does not change, tears do not flow from his eyes, his body does not shiver, and his bodily hairs do not stand on end as he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it should be understood that his heart is as hard as iron. This is due to his offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord's holy name. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, commenting on this verse, which is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2.3.24, remarks that sometimes a Mahabhagavat or a very advanced devotee does not manifest such transcendental symptoms as tears in the eyes, whereas sometimes a Kanishta Adhikari, a neophyte devotee, displays them artificially. And this is what's happening. This guru is saying, come look at my students. All of them, after a few weeks, they're just shedding. And you go on the Facebook and you see these devotees. They're reading and they're chanting and they're just crying and laughing, displaying these symptoms. And he says, see, this is the proof. This is the proof. So Prabhupada is saying here that even a neophyte may display them artificially. This does not, however, mean that a neophyte is more advanced than the Mahabhagavat devotee. So one of the arguments I presented to this guru once, he's saying, you know, in ISKCON, show me one guru who is displaying ecstatic symptoms like I am displaying on Facebook. And I said, well, that's a wrong deduction you've made. What if these devotees are experiencing ecstasy in private? How would you know? So I said, your conclusion is wrong. And then secondly, that Prabhupada says the test of the real change of heart takes place when one chants the Maha Mantra. The test of real change of heart that takes place when one chants the Mahamantra is that one becomes detached from material enjoyment. This is the real test. If one is actually advancing in spiritual life, he must become very detached from material enjoyment. So Prabhupada is making the point, well and good, you can display ecstatic symptoms, but how detached you are in your heart. And, you know, they sent me these videos, and I remember he was telling me how his students, you know, they were getting, he has male and female students that interact very closely. And some of his senior students were getting agitated. And two of them had to get married. So yet he's promoting that he's giving the highest. So I sent him this verse, and the first thing I got this morning at 3:30, I looked in my phone, and he said, don't be crazy, Vrindavan Chandra. I practice proper bhajan 365 days. And I said, you're missing the point. The real test is you and your students. How detached are you becoming from material sense enjoyment? So there's so much else to say, but I'll stop here. Any questions or comments?